Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
While many people think about daffodils, robins, and mud in the early spring, I think about chronobiology, companion animal behavior, and the bond. Granted, chronobiology always lurks in the back of my mind when I think about animal behavior and the bond. But spring and the time change fallout in humans and animals makes it especially difficult to ignore these connections. But what exactly is chronobiology? Chronobiology is the branch of biology that studies the cycles that routinely occur in living organisms. Among these organisms are human and non-human animals, plants, fungi, and bacteria. Think of all life and the changes within and around it as governed by internal and external cycles within cycles within cycles. Circadian rhythms follow a roughly 24-hour cycle. Human sleep-wake periods are circadian, as is body temperature and the secretion of some hormones. Ultradian cycles repeat in less than a 24-hour period. Although sleep-wake periods are circadian, sleep consists of several ultradian cycles, the length of which depends on the species and other factors. Infradian cycles, on the other hand, are long period cycles that occur less frequently. Examples of these include hibernation, breeding seasons, reproduction, bird migration, or menstrual cycles. Circannual cycles recur roughly on an annual basis. There are also life cycles, infant, youngster, adolescent, adult, etc. For as wondrous as these natural cycles are, they don't necessarily adhere to any human clocks or calendars. Spring in the Northern Hemisphere officially begins the day when the northward moving sun crosses the celestial equator. But factors such as our exact location in the Northern Hemisphere, our sensitivity to heat or cold, and any effects of climate change will determine what we experience. Most of us turn to the latest weather forecast to guide our clothing choices, not the calendar. We can blame the general lack of awareness of natural cycles in our society on a human invention: time. All of these cycles existed for eons before humans made up the concept of time. In his article, A Brief History of Telling Time, Kenneth Groton, the George Daniels Professor of Scientific Instrumentation, City University of London, notes that the ancient Egyptians were using sundials. The Babylonians and Jews recognized a seven-day week, which was then adopted in the 4th century AD when Constantine made Christianity the state religion. Since then, the goal has been to divide time into smaller and larger segments that were measured more precisely. I personally own a solar-powered watch that, if kept properly charged, supposedly only will lose 5 seconds over a 30-year period, or some such thing. Not that I would ever notice. The more we became obsessed with defining and measuring time with our clocks, watches, and other instruments, the more natural time became relegated to a remote corner of modern human consciousness. Minor and not so minor celebrations that mark the arrival and departure of circadian, ultradian, infradian, circannual, and other longer or shorter cycles gave way to those defined by the calendar. And As that semi-annual abomination known as a time change suggests, the more we messed with time, the less it had anything to do with nature, and the more it conflicted with natural time. To understand how this disconnect may impact companion animal behavior and the bond, let's consider an example. Ralph the dog and Alice the cat live with Cecilia Kumquat. Like many Americans, Ms. Kumquat works long hours and has a relatively busy social life. During their first 2 years together, Ralph and Alice's nightly sleep schedules were the same as their owners, at least as far as Ms. Kumquat knew. They didn't awaken her, and she saw no evidence that either one of them had been up to any mischief while she slept. But then something changed. Ralph and Alice changed their sleeping patterns. Ralph became more barky and didn't sleep soundly at night. Alice slept much more during the day, but unfortunately, much less during the night. She also started clawing the chair in front of the window overlooking Cecilia's backyard. As this continued, the increasingly sleep-deprived Ms. Kumquat became more frustrated and angry with her pets. Sometimes she even yelled at them. Once, when Alice leaped on her sleeping owner in the middle of the night, it so frightened Ms. Kumquat that she lashed out at the cat in self-defense. "I feel horrible about it, and I know I wouldn't have done it if I wasn't so tired," she confided to her best friend. "But I am tired, and this is our super busy season at work." It's also a super busy time for Alice and Ralph. As the days grew longer and despite their spayed and neutered status, their hormonal levels were shifting. For the first time since Ms. Kumquat added them to her household, they also experienced this as fully mature adults, with all the behavioral changes that go with that. This included more awareness of the need to establish and protect their territories. One hormone that fluctuates of particular interest relative to companion animal and the bond is oxytocin. In addition to its role in the birthing and nurturing of young, it also enhances territorial awareness. If you think about this in terms of cycles, it makes sense. Before the mating season begins, animals must establish their physical and mental territories, their place in the environment. Successfully doing that in a timely manner requires an awareness of friend versus foe, mine versus not mine. Fighting with those you depend on or who pose no danger is as self-defeating as fighting for resources you don't need or can't use. But in addition to upheavals related to life stages and seasonal cyclic changes, other natural cycles may disrupt peaceful human-animal coexistence too. For example, this past year, parts of the Northeast United States saw a bust in seed production after several boom years. During the boom, more seed eaters, such as turkeys, squirrels, and all kinds of smaller rodents, survived long enough to have more offspring who did likewise. Their predators similarly responded to the increase in prey. When the bust came, more animals had to scramble to compete for the reduced food supply. Habitat destruction, a much longer and more variable cycle than the seed boom and bust one, also contributed to Ralph and Alice's behavioral changes and the bonds with Ms. Kumquat. Ms. Kumquat's home sits on land previously occupied by wildlife not that long ago. She chose it specifically so she could see all the different birds at her feeders and the turkeys, deer, occasional bear, and other wild critters in an adjacent meadow. But with the seed bust, Increasing numbers of those now hungry animals overcame their fears and entered her yard. Where seed-eating prey species went, naturally, so went their predators. Many came when Miss Kumquat was gone, or at night when she slept. But Ralph and Alice knew all about the intruders. They could see them from the inside of the house when they made their patrols. When Ralph and Alice went out, they smelled the intruders' scents. They read the often threatening territorial messages the intruders left behind. Sometimes the smaller rodents got into the house. Usually, Alice dispatched them with more or less bloodshed, but inevitably with much owner fallout. Other times, Miss Kumquat unknowingly would track the intruder's pheromones in on her muddy shoes and wipe them off on the rug by the door. Alice would just sniff the rug carefully. Ralph would pee on it. But after a bobcat attracted to the feeder surprised Alice looking out the sliding glass door, she started peeing on Miss Kumquat's bed instead. Cycles within cycles. All normal and yet so problematic when we ignore chronobiology's natural effects on our animals' behavior and their bonds with us.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.